Now we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. We want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a happy birthday to Jesus. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. It's very easy to give on that website. Now, if you will turn to Luke 2, verses 1 through 14, and that is on page 1014 in your pew Bible, we will read the scripture, followed by the sermon, Ponder This Christmas Day, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. Luke 2, 1 through 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, and the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests."
This is the story that we remember. There is Mary and Joseph, the animals, the shepherds, the angels, all gathered around the tiny Christ child lying in the manger. The star is floating up above. It is this beautiful image that the artists recreate, and it is the image that we show every year with the beautiful nativity scene. As I remember the story now, I think of the image of all of them gathered there together around the little baby, and I find one line in Scripture stands out to me. It sticks out more than all the rest. It's a line that I have heard over and over again, but I didn't pay any attention to it because it really didn't seem as if it was that important in the midst of everything else that was going on. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The part that sticks out to me most especially is that she pondered them in her heart. I look the word up. I do that when I am doing sermon prep. I look it up in a Bible dictionary, if applicable. I look it up in Webster's. I even look it up in a thesaurus. You see, my mentor taught me to preach to the fifth grader in the congregation, and then everybody else would understand. Every once in a while, one of those 50-cent words from seminary pop up. But then I look in the thesaurus, and I break it down. This is what Webster's says. It says to ponder means to think of something carefully, especially. actually before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. Another dictionary says, to ponder means to spend time thinking carefully and seriously about a problem or a difficult question. And it just strikes me as just a little strange that Mary was pondering during this time. It seems to me as if she would be tired. It seems to me as if she would just want to chill out. But I have to wonder what Mary is pondering about. Luke tells us that she was pondering, thinking seriously about some problem or difficult question, some type of decision that had to be made. Mary was pondering. It seems just a little out of place, that line, until I remember the entirety of the Christmas story. And then I imagine that Mary was pondering what happened back in Nazareth with the angel coming to her to announce that she was going to be with child. She was going to give birth to the Son of God. And then she had to deal with everything that all the townspeople were saying about her. And oh, the look on Joseph's face, that just killed her. She was so thankful when the angel finally explained things to him. But before that, it was difficult, to say the least. And then, if she thought it was hard for the townspeople to be gossiping about her, to be making comments, to be shaking their heads every time she walked by, what was harder still was them talking about her beloved Joseph. Every time he stepped foot in town, they shook their heads. They were angry that he had allowed her to shame them so terribly. And when they found out about the census and that they each had to go to the place of their birth to be counted, it seemed to them to be a welcome release. They were finally able to get out of town, away from all of the criticism, away from all of the gossip, away from all of the pressure. But it was a difficult journey. It was a long walk, more than 100 miles, through rough terrain and difficult territory, and it was a walk. Mary and Joseph were poor. We know this because Scripture tells us that after the baby was born, they went to the temple to give their offering. And Scripture tells us that their offering was 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. That was the offering of the poor, not an offering of one who was well-to-do. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that Mary rode on a donkey to Bethlehem. It is an image that we have created, just like the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. That is an image that we create, and that is okay. But nowhere in Scripture are we told that she rode on a donkey. They were much too poor. There were 2 usual ways to get from Nazareth to Jerusalem, and neither one of them was easy. You could travel east to the Sea of Galilee and then go south along the Jordan River Valley. It was rugged land, bordering the wilderness, a very difficult journey for a young woman about to give birth to a child. The other route was straight south through the high country. The roads were much better, but it was really cold there, and the path went straight through Samaria, arch enemies. The Jews and the Samaritans had been at odds ever since the Babylonian exile. It may have been generations ago, but the feelings were still very alive. And for them to walk through Samaria would mean not only whispering, not only shouting of names, but people would actually pick up sticks and stones and throw them at them. They say that names will never hurt you, but I think they hurt you more than the sticks and stones. Mary and Joseph, despite what their son would say later on, believed that there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. And whichever route they took, the roads would be crowded with travelers. And the well-to-do, with their carts and their horses and their carriages, would be hogging up the roads. And if the roads were crowded, there would also be beggars of every kind. The lame, the blind, and even the lepers would be there with their hand out begging for money. Everywhere Mary and Joseph turned, there would be somebody with a hand out asking them for money. Mary, pregnant with child, was not allowed to be around the unclean, for she herself could be deemed unclean. Joseph tried hard to protect her. If she was deemed unclean, she would have to bathe herself until she could be deemed clean again. And there were no ritual bathhouses along this road. The risk of becoming unclean herself would have been a difficult risk, but the heart-wrenching stories of all the beggars broke their hearts as they traveled on to Bethlehem. The crowds became even larger. And if there were rooms available, they were likely not in an inn. They were likely in people's homes. People who knew that they could get exorbitant prices because nobody had anywhere else to go. Price gouging and taking advantage of a situation isn't just today. It's been going on throughout history. Finally, we're told that a homeowner or an innkeeper saw the look on Mary's face and took pity on them. Or some traditions say that a family member, even though they were overcrowded, showed hospitality and took them in. You know, hospitality was a big thing back then. You would be shamed if you did not show hospitality to people. Isn't it a shame that our culture doesn't believe as strongly in hospitality as they did in Mary and Joseph's day? Either way, Mary and Joseph were led through the front part of the house or the inn and into a cave-like dwelling built out behind the house to hold all of the animals. Whatever else you might say about the place, the smells, the sounds, and the animals, at least it was out of the way of the crowds. And at some point, the precious baby was born. He was wrapped in cloth and he was placed in a stone manger, a stone feeding trough, wrapped in little pieces of cloth, all that they had, to keep the child warm. The shepherds arrived and talked about the angels and the baby. The shepherds were excited and told everyone they saw along the way about the baby's arrival. Crowds began to gather. People came to see the miracle baby. And at one point, three foreign men came. And Mary watched as they piled gold next to her precious son. And then the next one came up and set a jar of frankincense down by her baby Jesus. And finally, the third one came. And she pondered, she wondered why he set a jar of myrrh down by her child. These gifts were gifts traditionally given when a king was born. The frankincense and the myrrh were also used for embalming. Mary watched and treasured up all these things in her heart. She pondered. I wondered what she was thinking. Was she thinking about being the mother of a king, God's own son? Or was she just thinking that she wished all these people would go away so that she could be the mother to her precious baby boy? Was she thinking about the angel that had come to give her the message? Was she thinking about the fact that this beautiful baby boy would one day take upon the sins of the world? Or was she absolutely terrified because all these crowds of people came around her and her precious baby? Was she contemplating the meaning of the myrrh? Did she just want to pick up her child and run and take him someplace where no one knew anything about him? You know, I'm not trying to ruin the image that we see on our Christmas cards, the image of the Nativity. I just ponder myself and wonder in my heart, did Mary have questions? Was she afraid? Did she have doubts? Even though she knew that this was of God, even though she remembered very well the angel coming to her, even though she was so relieved that the angel had finally come to Joseph, and they both knew that this was of the Holy Spirit, did she, as you and I would have, did she have fears and questions? Because if she did, that gives me hope. That gives me strength. Because with fears and questions, she still somehow found it within herself to do what God had called her to do. Did she wonder about how she was going to raise her son as God intended her to do? Or did she wonder about his future? Either way about it, her having the courage to still do what God had called her to do in the midst of all of this gives me hope that God will indeed give me the courage to live my life. And you, each one of you, God will give you the courage, the strength, and the fortitude to do everything that He brings into your life. And even more so, everything that this world gives us. He will help us to overcome. Merry Christmas. Amen.
The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a love. of hope. Oh come, Emmanuel. The child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh come, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Let us be filled with the peace of Christ, no matter what life has handed to each one of us. Let us remember that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, will indeed be present and give us what we need to make it through all of our situations in life. And all God's people.